want to ask you a question. Who's going to go with you? And you might say, well, where am I going? Well, you're going. We're all going. We got, right now, we all have life in front of us. And in life, there's a lot of challenges, as we're all well aware of. And sometimes we would be braver and more acceptance of the things before us if we just had someone to go with us. Sometimes we're just afraid, like a little child. I remember whenever I was a little boy, where we lived at Mayo, Texas. That was before we moved down to the metropolis of Appleby. We lived at Mayo. We moved from Mayo to Appleby when I was 8 years old. But I remember those older brothers of mine. There was 10 of us kids. I was number 9. And I remember that it being cold and a fire in the fireplace, and it be dark at night, and one of those big old rascals would try to get me to go get the firewood. Well, I wasn't about to go out in that dark because I was afraid. I was scared. And I think about that, and I think that's the way life is generally. If one of them will go with me, if they would just go with me, I wouldn't be afraid then. I grew up learning not to be afraid of some things because I had a large family, because we were such a close-knit bunch of 10 kids that we could do anything because there were so many of us and we all stuck together. As we go down through life, we find situations where we are, we need someone to go with us. We need help. We're afraid, and it does not stop when you stop being a child. There's times that you were afraid as a child, but there'll be times as you live your life and go on that there'll be situations that you have to face, and you just think, oh my. I know that for many years, every Sunday, I called my daddy. I would come here and preach, and daddy would preach down at Appleby. Every afternoon, Sunday afternoon, we'd talk because I felt the comfort of that conversation. I needed that. And even after my daddy had died, I still caught myself wanting to go and to call him because I needed that comfort. And you're going to find out as you go down through life, and now I didn't have anything major wrong. I had something to rejoice about. But I still needed the comfort of someone. And so as we go down through life, you'll find that there's going to be many things that, well, some of it will be joy. Some days it'll be like today. The breeze will be blowing, the birds are singing, the sun's are shining. You just couldn't think anything better. But life won't be that way every day. There'll be some days and some seasons that we will all struggle with the problems that we have in life. And we need the comfort. We need that comfort there. When I was a little boy, I cut my hand. I was a good little boy, but for some reason my brother pushed me off of the porch. Fell on a bottle and cut my hand, cut it severely. And in fact, in Nacogdoches, they had doctors, but they couldn't do anything like I had to have done. I went for months. They didn't know what they was going to do. And finally, my doctor, Taylor, said, I got a buddy. We were in the army together. And he is a head man. His name is Dr. Blocker at John Celia Hospital in Galveston. I look back on these things and I think about how that God's hand is, he's always with us. He's been with us and he is with us. And we see in things of life that happened, and Dr. Taylor called Dr. Blocker they worked me in down to Galveston, and I had surgery, several surgeries. It was called plastic surgery. I don't know what it was, but that was unheard of in Appleby, plastic surgery. I thought they'd be using some plastic, I guess. But anyway, I remember I was a big little boy. I was going to be big, and I still lived at Mayo, so I had to be six. And I remember laying in that hospital, and I was so big I wouldn't cry, but I was scared to death. But I wouldn't cry. But I still remember this day, my mother's dress. She sat by my bed. And she caused me to not be afraid because she was there. And so as we go down through life, we're going to find, as we a child, we cling to our parents and our brothers and sisters and those around us. But you got a long life, hopefully, in front of you if you're a young person. But there's more to cling to than mom and daddy and brothers and sisters, because they too will pass from this life. But there's one who lives forever, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at what he told the apostles in Matthew 28, the last of Matthew, before he departed back, the Lord Jesus Christ used this expression. He said, "Oh, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." What a great blessing it is to realize that God has promised us that to his children, in this case, his disciples that would proclaim the gospel, that I will be with you. I will be with you always, and even to the end of the world. And so here we come today, clinging to the promise. The gospel is still being preached and proclaimed. God is still blessing people to preach and people to hear. And that same message is good today. I will be with thee always, even until the end of the world. Taking a hold of God's promises, sometimes it's so hard for us to do because we have problems and we have things that absolutely we think nobody can solve, and we think no one has these problems sometime except us. But listen to some of the promises that God has made to us. In the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, he says, "I giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." There's going to be times in life that you do not have any power. You don't have any strength. You don't know how you're going to go forward. You don't know what you're going to do. You know, I remember, of course, and I think about it, and I think about, at the time, I thought I didn't really tell anybody because I thought maybe it was just wasn't nice to be praying for such things. But I used to pray before ball games that the Lord would bless me to play good in my ball game. I didn't tell many people because I really thought it was kind of foolish. There were so many needs in the world and me praying to play good in a ball game. But I believe that God can hear and did and does hear a prayer of a child or a young person, no matter what your situation. If you got a test you got to take in school, do you think it'd be right thing to pray to God to help you? Certainly it would. You need God's help. He's there. I'm with you always, and he's there, and we need his help, and we need his assistance. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Because I will be with you always, in the 10th verse of the 41st chapter of Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the righteousness of with the right hand of my righteousness. Even children, young people, have many challenges that lay before them. They can start early on in life. You do not know what the circumstances might be. You may lose a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a divorce or something happened in your life. But God has promised that I will be with you always. There you go on and maybe you make it through and then you're doing okay and you lose your job or the industry falls apart and all the jobs are cut out. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So he's promised to be with us, to strengthen us, to let us not be dismayed and discouraged. But he is a constant that's always with us. He says in the 17th verse of the 41st chapter, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. To always remember, God is with me. You know, we have the occurrence in several other places there. He said, I'll bring the blind by way they knew not. I've quoted that verse so many times because I didn't see a way out and I don't know a way out. And I don't know the path that I should take. But he promised me that even the blind, I will bring them by way they know not. They did not know how they were going to do it, but God knew. In the 43rd chapter, he said, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And he didn't say, if you pass through it. He says, when you pass through it. Because he said, in this life, we're going to have tribulation. And I love the seasons of youth. I love the fact that they are not having to worry about the electric bill and the house payment and the other things that we have to worry about in life. They're not having to worry about those things. But the day's coming, if they live, they too will be saddled with the cares and the afflictions and the circumstances of life that they have to do as some of us have had to do. We have to remember, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so whenever we realize that God is with us even to the end of the world and the promises, we think about the faithful people that have gone before us, which the book of Hebrews called a great cloud of witnesses. We all have personal witnesses. We know people. We know people that appeared to us to be very faithful in life and so forth. But we could be mistaken about some things, but God himself in the book of Hebrews called off many people that were faithful to him. And one of them he called was Abraham. It said Abraham went out not knowing. He didn't know where he was going. God had made a promise to him, and Abraham clung to that promise and went out not knowing where he was going, but dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob. They were heirs of him of the same promise, but Abraham went out. And so we find how important it is that we cling unto God, that I am with you always. You know, there's a song in our book that I hope that Brother Todd can lead in a little while, or somebody can, but it's number 482. It says, if Jesus go with me, it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But the one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I be. If he is with me, I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus go with me, I'll go anywhere. What a great what a great statement that that man made. In 1908, he wrote that song. He was 40 years old when he wrote it. And we have to realize that things are not going to be perfect. I've seen people that look like that they lived in perpetual sunshine all their life with never any problems, but we never know. See, we look at the outward appearance, but on the inside, everyone, God said that we would have tribulations, so I know that we will have tribulations. And when we have tribulations, whenever sometimes you just think it's unbelievable that your beautiful little daughter or your outstanding son, someday that you find that he's mixed up in drugs, we didn't even know it. Or he's addicted to alcohol, we didn't even know those things. We didn't know that he had friends that had led him in that direction, even though we know he should have been responsible or she should have been responsible. Just thinking about people's lives that I know very closely that have been so damaged by alcohol and drugs. But my, what a damage it is to the parents. What a damage it is to a parent who has to realize that their child has got, that's why we try our best to be a good example to our children. It's so important. But when those days come, or if those days come, you will probably be clinging to the Lord. You should be. Sometimes, someone said one time, they were driven to their knees so often because they had no other place to go. Brother Cameron selected the song, Brother Worley selected the song a while ago, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" That is so true. It sometimes is a last resort for people. Try every imaginable thing. We'll go through doctors and psychiatrists and friends and so forth. But look, the Lord, he promised that he would be with us always. And so as we think those things, if Jesus comes with me, you know, that made me think of Moses. Moses was a man who God chose Moses to speak to his people. And Moses said, "God, I can't speak. I don't have a good speech." And God said, "Well, I'll bless your mouth." He could bless a mouth to speak. And actually, Moses still wanted some help, and it made God a little angry. And God said, "Well, you got your brother there, Aaron. You got Aaron there." But anyway, Moses contended with God some. And Moses said, "Well, what if I go and tell these people to follow me and out of Egypt? Who am I going to tell them sent me?" And he said, "The great I am. I tell them I am sent you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them I sent you." And Moses was still, he said, "Well, what do you have in your hand?" Moses said, "I have a rod." He went through these, he was showing Moses that he was with him, that Moses might show the people that God was with them. And that's what he said. We have, those are the first signs ever in Scripture. And those signs was that they might believe. He gave them those. He threw the rod down and all the things that he did, that they might believe, he said, and they did. But finally, Moses said, "Well, what am I going to tell them?" In the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, he said, "That how am I going to know?" He said, "That thy presence goes with thee." We're going to know so often in our life and times whenever things are not like we wanted them to be. You know, we realize that we one day are not going to have the health. Maybe we have good health now, but we won't always have good health. Who's going to go with me? I remember Brother Johnny Robertson here, and I knew his daddy. His daddy was a big, strong man. He was an insurance agent. And Brother Johnny came along, and he was just like his daddy, big and strong, good old West Texas boy. And one day, they called to tell me that Brother Johnny had had a stroke. Sister Emma called me. And we all find out, and now Brother Johnny, it's been a good many years ago. And it didn't just affect his life, his life of Joan and his children and everyone. And who's going to go with Brother Johnny now? Well, we know that he has his faithful companion to go with him. But oh, if it were not for Jesus that went with him, if it were not for the hope that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can come to the house of God still, after all this time, he can still come to the house of God. You know, I think about the man that was brought to the pool, and he had been impotent for 38 years. For 38 years, and the Lord comes by and said, "Would you like to be made whole?" He said, "Yes, I want to be made whole, but when the angel comes and stirs the water, before I can get down to it, someone else has beat me there." And the Lord told him, said, oh, he said, "I have no man to help. I have no man." There's going to be times in your life you have no man. There's no man to help me. Every man is, to a certain extent, is looking out for himself. He's got a passel full of problems himself. I have no man to help. One of the greatest things you can ever do in life is to be able to help. And, you know, sometimes people, I think about my brother-in-law that conducted his funeral last Saturday, and all the times that, and I'm saying this not anything kindly, Sam fell into some hard times. He used to not be, but he fell into some hard times financially. And I know that Esther and I and Linville and different ones, I guess everyone helped a lot to help him. But you know, it come to he could not do it. He had no place to turn. The doctor came in and said, "You're going to die. It's just a matter of a few days that you're going to die." And of course, he called my brother and gave him some things to told him. But when Esther and I and Sonia and her family and ours was there, the last thing Sam ever asked me to do was to pray for him. "I want you to offer prayer before you leave." We have to cling to something greater than this life. My life is over. I couldn't pay back the ones I owe. I couldn't do all of this. But I still want to ask God, "Would you pray before you leave?" He's the only constant we have that will live. He said that if Jesus go with me, I'll go anywhere. Who's going to take care of me whenever I can't take care of myself? Who's going to look out for me? Who, you know, as we all of us guys do, our wives so take care of us in every kind of way. I got so many people that take care of me till it's just unbelievable. They've always looked after me and took care of me, and I'm so thankful for the things that they have done, little things. Iris cut my hair for 40 years, but I wanted to get that burden off of her. I started going to the beauty shop or barber shop, whatever it was. But every time I come in, she would either gripe about it or have to straighten it up, because they didn't care. They'd just clip, 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 clip. You know, 5 minutes, you out of here. Give me the $12. And so last week, I couldn't get there, and I wasn't going back. I'd gotten so much trouble for the last one I got. So she cut my hair, and I don't know how it looks this morning. I got up for daylight, but she cares about the way my hair looks. She cares about the way my biscuits are cooked and the way my eggs are fried, and she cares about all those things, and she takes care of me. But, you know, it might not always be that way. Somebody's going to have to take care of me for a long time, and somebody's going to have to take care of her, and somebody's going to have to take care of y'all. You're going to have to be taken care of. You'll be so sad. You won't want to do that. But do you know that I've seen people just like Brother Johnny that still rejoices in the God of heaven? You can still rejoice in God. He's always there. He's there. He said, "I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he's promised he would not forsake us. And he's promised that whenever we go through the river, we'll not drown. And we go through the fire, we won't be burned up. God has promised us that. We might think that that's almost impossible, but he says that he would do that. He said that my presence is with thee. The Apostle Paul, you know, in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, Listen what Paul said. Did you know that Paul realized, as so many of us do, that we are going to need help? The Paul here in the 20th chapter, says, and now in 22nd verse, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Well, that's where we are. We're all going down through life. Where are you going? You don't know where you're going, but there's one thing you better be sure of. You don't know what's going to be in front of you. I'm not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save this, that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He knew by what God had revealed to him that bonds and afflictions abided him. He knew that. And he has told us that we're going to have tribulation in this life. Everything is not going to be pleasant. But none of these things, he said in the 24th verse, move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, that the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So here was a man that was a preacher of, I guess, one of the best that we ever know anything about. He's right up there with Jesus Christ, or right close, and Paul and Peter, and they were great men of God, but they had bonds and they had afflictions. They spent time in jail. They spent time in all kinds of situations, but one thing that they knew, that God had promised, he had made these promises unto them, and so therefore, and whenever they had no man to help, he says, I have no man to help me. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed, and walk, and the man did. He'd been that way for 38 years. And so what great comfort we find in knowing that this God that we have has promised to always be with us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God that made this world and all things therein, had a son. His name was Jesus Christ, and he sent his son, and his son came willingly to save and redeem his people from their sins. And he promised us before he left this earth that he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. You know, people, everyone, there's a lot of different views about Jesus Christ. A lot of people have one opinion and one another about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the time there was a man here that was Speaker of the House of Representatives for, I think, about 30 years, longer than anyone else has been, in Washington, D.C., and his name was Sam Rayburn. Sam Rayburn was a politician, of course, and he was the Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House is third in line for the presidency. And Brother Sam Rayburn, which I never knew, but he was sick. And he had been diagnosed sort of like Sam was, that he had cancer, and he was dying in a Dallas hospital. And I read the account of a well-known evangelist. If I called his name now, you would know who he was. He's dead now. But he was in seminar over at Fort Worth at the Baptist Seminary. And he wrote that they went to see Sam Rayburn. He was Speaker of the House. The Queen of England come to see him. Margaret Thatcher come to see him. John Kennedy come to see him. All these people was parading into his room. But these young, he was talking about, he and the other ministers over there, was going by to see Sam Rayburn. We'd go to the hospital, and we'd tell Sam Rayburn about Jesus Christ. And that, well, first of all, Sam had joined the church, the Primitive Baptist Church up here, around Teague or someplace up north of here, where? Bonham, Texas. And he had joined the church. He'd come in every weekend from Washington, D.C. And one day he came in, he sat on the back, he took off his shoes, and he came down the aisle and joined the church. And, of course, why did he take off his shoes? Well, it was just a symbol to him that Moses had taken his shoes off in the presence of God because that ground was so holy. Well, Sam Rayburn had come down and joined the church, but now he's sick and dying in a Dallas hospital. And they kept telling him about Jesus Christ had paid the sins for the whole world, and if he would accept the Christ and so forth. And Sam Rayburn said, I don't know this man Jesus you're talking about. Emphasis on you're talking about. But they took it as, I don't know this man Jesus. And they went out then, and to say that here's the whole world coming to his door. The whole world is coming to the hospital to see him, from the Queen of England to the President of the United States and everyone else. And it said the only one that could do anything for him is Jesus Christ, and he rejects him. I don't know this Jesus you are talking about. Because he saw another Jesus. He saw another Jesus that came into the world to save and redeem his people from their sins. He saw another Jesus that had accomplished what he came for and paid the price for his people. But they wrote it up, and I've read it several times in a book, how that the bottom line was that here was a man that the kings of the earth was coming to see, and they couldn't help him. The only one that could help him was just Jesus Christ. Well, I'm confident that Jesus Christ had already come into his heart, had already given him that Jesus Christ is with us. I will be with you to the end of the world. And I don't imagine that Sam Rayburn was in a turmoil about his eternal state. If he had heard the doctrines of grace as he had proclaimed and preached those, that he took great comfort in that fact, that his sins were paid for on the cross of Christ. Christ, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'll tell you, if we could ever get hold of that, we could keep from sometime being in such a bad mood. I know I got problems that I cannot accomplish. I got problems I can't solve. All of us have things and so forth. You might have problems you can't solve. You can't just go, even if you got plenty of money in the bank, or you've got this, or you've got that, some problems you can't solve. I've been with folks who had children that got caught up in drugs and alcohol, and it doesn't matter how much money they have. It seems like that there's just no way to win, but you always have to lean upon Jesus Christ because he's the only thing that's stable in our lives. I will be with thee always, and wherever thou would have me to go, that thou would be with me. So I'll go anywhere if Jesus leads. We just have a hard time finding out, is Jesus leading me or am I leading myself? Well, he's always with us, and we need to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord, and that doesn't mean that we're going to solve all of our problems. We might be like other strong young men and women that they were once strong. I see Brother Evers that worked so hard just to get from his car into the house. I saw others the same way. I saw Sister Ann Worley's mother and daddy that were wonderful, wonderful people, just wonderful. And I'm telling you, it took them so long to get from the parking lot into where they'd sit back here, because their health had failed. They were well up in their 90s and so forth. We're going to get there. We're going to get there if we live long enough. We may get there, I should say, but we're going to have problems and tribulations. But he said, I am with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I hope you'll take comfort in the fact that Christ is with us. We sometimes do not notice him. Sometimes we do not notice a lot of things about life, but that Christ is with us. We are afraid, some of us, all of us, are somewhat afraid of that time when someone has to lead us about, when someone has to do the things for us that we can't even do for ourselves. Oh, I just don't, you know, I don't, my dignity will just be destroyed if that happens to me. Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ already knows, and he's with you, and the Lord has a way of doing things and so forth, that we lean on him and look on him and rejoice in him. As we sung in the song, this is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice. Oh, we can rejoice and be glad in it. It's such a wonderful blessing that God has given us. As the longer we live, the more we see how we help one another. I needed my mama. I needed my daddy. But I tell you, mom and daddy's not here. And one day your mom and daddy won't be here. And you'll be dependent upon others that may help you. But Jesus Christ is always there. I thank you this morning for your kind attention. Hope there's been something said that would be a benefit to you, and that we'd give God all the glory and honor that we might rejoice.